and on the streets. Amen.
I'm not sure about you, to me it feels like a new season in the life of our church. And I think importantly it's because Jeff and Amanda here and Shane and Chris are here. It feels like a new season in the life of our church. And I just sense that actually God might be doing new things. On the one hand, that's what he does. You know, this term is going to be different and God does new things. But I wonder, as we focus on God in worship, he might be doing a few things, and therefore we might need the gift of big ears in the life of our church in this particular term as well. So, on the one hand, that's true. We're on a new season in the life of our church. September feels like a new season. But on the other hand, I kind of feel we as a church have been on a journey. And so, at least for the benefit of Amanda and Jeff, Chris and Shane, I must tell you what's happened in the last 2 years, at least in the congregational imagination of the life of our church. 2 years ago, exactly to the day, we started a series of sermons called King's Cross. We looked at the Gospel of Mark and we focused on the life of Jesus. And we talked about how important it is for disciples of Jesus to have a fresh vision of who Jesus is. All Christian discipleship, all Christian journey starts with a Christocentric vision, that Jesus is right at the heart. So we spent up to a year focusing on King's Cross, who he was on the one hand and what he did on the other hand. That is where we started, Jesus. Our Christology, if our understanding of Jesus, shapes our mission. Our mission doesn't shape our Jesus. Our Jesus shapes our mission. And then for a number of months, we looked at the whole language of front lines. Yeah, remember that? We explored for about 6 to 7 months how we all have a front line. A front line is a place where God has placed us. That is where God has called us to exercise discipleship. But not just that. Not just having a front line, but also being fruitful on a front line. The gifts of hospitality, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of word of knowledge, the gift of prayer is exercised on those front lines. So our understanding of Jesus shaped our front line, our mission. And as a result, in the last year, as in probably this year, early this year, we've been focusing on the whole understanding of church. We looked at the book of Revelation, the seven churches, and especially in the last term, we're looking at one another. Christianity is not just about your relationship with God. As important as it is about our life together as a community. So the Bible has so much to say about one another. So Christ, mission, church. Do you get it? Yeah, we've been on a journey. We haven't been just kind of going airy-fairy. We've been very deliberate on our journey. Our understanding of who Jesus is shapes our mission. Our mission shapes our church. And what brings this all together, what brings us together is worship. And that is what we're going to be focusing on this term, the understanding of worship. So we're going to be focusing on worship. We're going to be focusing on, in our thinking, in our activity, in our prayer, in the life of our church this term around the theme of worship. We're going to be thinking about worship not just when we are gathered together, but also worship when we have scattered. For some of us, that's a new thought. What do you mean worship on a Tuesday afternoon by the school gate? What do you mean by that? We're going to be looking at not just worship as we gather together, but also when we are scattered. With that in mind, I'd like you to watch this clip.
God so loved, reached out, came close, the shining light of heaven on earth, inviting, calling, redeeming, extravagantly sharing his deep wisdom, his glory.
So God helping us, let's take our lives, our ordinary lives, our sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around lives, and place them before him our God, our King, an offering.
Teach, clean, direct in his name.
Cook, create, design in his name.
Fix, care, speak in his name.
Our lives a river of worship for him who fills all in all.
So worshipping, engaging all of our lives is the theme of our term. Can I just start by saying God loves our worship. God loves our worship. When we worship Jesus, when we worship him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he loves it. But guess what? He loves it more than you love it. If you don't believe me, let me read from our reading today. God takes particular pleasure in our acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice that takes place in the kitchen, in the workplace, and on the streets. That is the Eugene Peterson's rendering, which I like very much indeed. We are this term going to ask some questions about why is it that we do a certain things in the worship context. For example, why do we use liturgy? Go in peace to love and... Why do we use liturgy? What is the point of that? We're going to think of that in due course. Why do we sing? One of the things we do pretty much every time we gather together is sing songs. Why do we do that? Some of you are thinking, I don't like singing very much. Some of you are thinking, I don't even do this when I go to watch a football match. Or some of you do it when you go to a football match. Why do we sing? We're going to unpack that this term. Is there anybody here who celebrated a birthday this week? Who is this? Becky. Becky, come and stand here because I want people to know who you are. Okay. This week, Becky has celebrated her 18th birthday, obviously. No, come and tell you. Okay. Becky, today, this week was your birthday. Okay. I can tell you, Becky, this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Becky. Happy birthday to you. Or I can do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Becky. Happy birthday. Which one did you prefer? Which one did you prefer?
Obviously the second one.
There is something about singing, isn't there? I think we're going to unpack that whole understanding of why we sing in worship. Why do we celebrate communion? What is the point of that? We're going to unpack some of that this worship. But before we do that, I want to ask the question, what is worship? Okay? This is not a rhetorical question. I know some of you don't like speaking to your neighbor. Do make peace with him. That's okay for you not to share it. I'd love for you, if you are able, to turn to your neighbor and ask the question, what is worship? Okay? And then I'd like some of you to share it with the rest of the church, because we want some insights into worship this morning. What is worship? Are you guys talking about worship? Are you talking about worship? No? You're not talking about worship, are you? Did you guys want to talk about worship?
No.
Mike, have you got a microphone? Or have I got a microphone? Thank you very much. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. I would love to you to share your insights into this very basic question of what worship is. Okay. Who would like to go? There's always a starting problem. There's always a stopping problem. So we'll start with you, Dorothy. What is worship? Okay, you will need... okay, thank you.
Hello?
Oh. Hello.
For me, worship is demonstration of love. It's feelings, it's emotional, but it's also intellectual.
Wow, that's great. Actually, so it's an expression of love. Yes. Yeah, it's intellectual, yeah. It's also feelings, so there is a holistic nature of worship. Is there anybody who's good at writing things? I'm not very good at writing things on the board. Any script writers here? Anybody? Who? Becky? Come on then, Becky. You better be good. Can you make sure you encapsulate what Dorothy just said? Okay. Worship is an expression of love. You know, it's emotional, but also it is intellectual. It's an activity. Okay. Thank you very much, Dorothy. Anybody else? Okay. We'll go to David. David, I'm going to come to you, and here's a microphone.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. We were saying, basically what Dorothy was saying, that worship is a way of showing God how much we love him, not just in singing a song, although that's great, but in whatever you're doing, whether that's doing the washing up, reading your Bible, praying, or cleaning the toilet.
Okay, yes. Some might say, especially cleaning the toilet. Okay, worship has everything about life. How do you make of that? Some of you are thinking, some of you are jarred by that idea. What do you mean worship being... what you do, like clean the toilet. Love through doing. Okay, wonderful. Okay, Jane, what is worship?
It's walking in relationship with the Lord.
Okay, I love that image, actually. Worship as a walk. A slow walk, a brisk walk, but nevertheless a walking in a relationship with God. I love that image. Okay. Promise, could you please come to me? Because I don't want to trip over Rachel and Dorothy.
We ask God for everything.
Yeah.
Worship is the only thing we give to him. Give him the glory.
Yeah. So worship as giving.
Yeah. Yes. Back to God.
Yeah.
For all the things he gives to us.
Right. Okay. I love the thought of giving back to God. You see, there's a richness to people's perception of worship. Is anyone else here? Okay, we'll come to you out of the back. What is worship?
Worship, I believe, is healing. We receive healing in worship.
Yeah.
Because I can give you example from the Bible. When David used to worship, the evil spirit leaves Saul.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We receive healing and joy.
Right. Things happen. What you're specifically referring to is the miraculous happening. Anybody here who actually thinks miraculous things happen in worship? Anybody here? Yeah. Right. Actually, for some of us, actually haven't experienced that. But worship is not just a ritualistic thing that happens. Something happens deeper, sometimes very perceptive, sometimes very perceivable, but some things happen in worship. There's a transformation, and the more evident transformation is what you're referring to, because healing in David's worship, the context of David's worship. Anybody else? Okay, Keith.
Giving of ourselves in worship. In other words, that can be in different ways. I mean, I enjoy singing, so I give of myself more in that way of singing. Other people will do it in different ways, maybe through work or meeting people, whatever. So it's a personal thing you can do, but within a group.
Okay, yeah, so it's singing is one way. We'd love to hear you sing a solo, Keith. No, you want to, right? Okay. Right, anybody else? Did you?
It's an experience, and it's also an encounter.
Oh, experience and encounter. That's amazing. Amazing. Helen, I'm going to come to you, but perhaps after you. Obviously, lots of people want to share today, which is wonderful.
Apparently, it can be seen as idolizing also.
Yes, say more. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by worshipping idolizing?
It depends on the connotation.
Yeah.
If you tend to respect somebody more than you could be idolizing that fear.
Right, okay. Because I'm slightly referring to that in my talk a little later. Okay. Actually, worship could be that sense of actually, do we give or do we receive? Because if we are thinking about receiving, for example, the phrase we sometimes use, I didn't get much out of worship today. Have you heard that? Have any of you heard that? I didn't get much out of worship. When on earth did worship become about you getting out of? It is about giving, isn't it? That is an idolatry. That's an idolatrous thinking that says, I'm going to get something out of this service today. Yeah? Okay. One more. I've got lots of hands. Okay. Two more. Helen and Karen. Okay.
To me, worship is anything you do at all in your life, yeah, where the focus is on God, not on you.
Right. Right. The focus is on God. Okay, great. Which is exactly what I'm going to with my talk today. Okay, Janet. Okay, we've got two more because Janet and then Karen. Okay. And that's it.
It's the expression of the appreciation of somebody's worth.
Right. An expression of appreciation of someone's worth. Yeah, I love these definitions because they're all one way, actually. It's actually focusing on the heart. Karen.
I would say it's giving of yourself,
yeah,
for God's glory,
yeah,
but expecting nothing in return.
Right.
So you're doing it as a gift.
Okay, great. Yeah, expecting nothing in return. Okay, Becky, how's it going? Could you please summarize the whole thing for us now? Right. Okay. There is a lot in there, isn't there? Expression of love, showing love through doing, walking in relationship. A round of applause for Becky, please, for doing a brilliant job. Yeah. Healing, personal activity. Do we give or do we receive? Anything we do where the focus is on God, expression of personal worth, giving ourselves for God's glory. And I love all of them. I also like what Archbishop William Temple said about worship. He said, worship is the submission of all of my nature to God. It is the quickening of the conscience by his holiness, nourishment of mind by his truth, purifying of imagination by his beauty, opening of heart to his love, and submission of will to his purpose. All this gathered up together in adoration is the greatest expression of which we human beings are capable of. I love that definition. Because things happen in worship. When we converge our hearts towards God, things happen in worship. One of the things that happen in worship is actually God giving the church a word. And historically, the church has called it prophecy. So recently, a young person in our church has had a word for the church. And so I want to share this word with you this morning, for you to pray, and if you gauge a sense of actually this might be very particularly for some particular person, by all means, take it. But I feel this is for the church, and this was sent a week ago. And this is what this young person said. I see a church kneeling, bowing down before the King. A church with arms stretched wide, praising the God on high. A church full of support. God is taking this church places. We are going on a journey. Are you willing to come? At the door, looking in, is a group of people, a family of followers. Are you open to new things, to new people, to new voices? Are you ready? God is here and is about to move in abundance. Hope this makes sense, she says. Please disregard if you don't feel it's right. I think there's something out there I found deeply, deeply encouraging. Because I think it is God-focused. So, if you'd like to text, send me, let me know. I would love to send that to you. And for some of you, it's like, we don't believe God speaks that way. I hope this term, God speaks to you as well, in ways. Of course, he's spoken through scriptures. That is primarily how he speaks to the church. That is why we come together, we read scripture every time. God has spoken. However, there are times when he speaks very specifically into our hearts as well. This man you see on the screen is a man called Soren Kierkegaard. Now, I know some of you met him. No, you haven't met him actually, because he died a long time ago. Soren Kierkegaard is a brilliant man. He's a Danish man. He is a lovely, lovely man. He thought a lot about God, and I found some of the things that he wrote down about God very, very helpful. He's a brilliant teacher. And this morning, I want to kind of teach you something that he taught his church hundreds of years ago. Some of you have heard this before, but I think for the most of you, this is new, and I believe it's very, very timely. He said, think of worship as a drama. Think of worship as a drama. So every time you gather to worship, there are three parties involved in the drama of worship. You have the congregation. Now, who are the congregation? Okay, let's try again. Who are the congregation? We are. That includes me as well. All of us who actually lead worship are part of the congregation. So who are the congregation? We are. You have a congregation. And then you have the worship leaders. Now, who is the worship leader? Did you say we are? Oh, you are, Graham, you are. Yes, you are. Right. The worship leaders are people who actually have a part to play in the life of the worship. So there are the worship leaders. So believe it or not, I am a worship leader. What I'm doing right now is actually leading your thoughts in one way or the other. Some of you anyway. Some of you are asleep. Worship leaders are sung worship leaders, people who pray, people who do the reading, people who preach, people who lead services. So Joe today has been a worship leader. Okay, so you've got the congregation, which is, you've got the worship leaders, people who played various parts in the life of church. And then there is a third party involved in worship. Who's that? Who's that? God. That's right. So God is involved in the drama of worship. Now, Kierkegaard actually looked at his church and he said there's something seriously wrong in our church. He said, if there are actors and prompters and audience, which category of this would they fill in? So, who are the actors in this drama? Are the congregation the actors, or the worship leaders the actors? Or is God the actor? He also said there are prompters in the drama. Who are the prompters? Are the congregation the prompters, the worship leaders the prompters, or God the prompter? We also have the audience in a drama. He asked the question, who are the audience? Is the congregation the audience? Is the worship leaders the audience? Or is God, the audience? Kierkegaard goes on to argue that the wrong understanding of worship as a drama that was true in the Danish church when he taught, and dare I say in the contemporary church in Britain, is this, where the congregation have become the audience. Where the worship leaders have become the actors. Where God is the prompter who helps the worship leaders to make the audience happy. That is a wrong, wrong way of looking at it. If you don't believe me, let's think about really hard this week. When we come to worship, do we come as participants or do we come as audience? Kierkegaard, of course, goes on to argue that the congregation and the worship leaders are the actors in the drama. What that means is You have a part. What is your part? For some of us, it takes time to actually learn what our part is. But nevertheless, we must learn what God's call is in the gathered worship. So you are not the audience. You are the participant in the drama. What then of the worship leaders? Do they become rock stars? No, they become the prompters in worship. That is what their task is. That is what my task is. My task is to tell people, this is your God. There is only one audience, and that's not me. That's not you. Who is the audience? God is the only audience in the drama of worship. Think about it. That should actually reshape the way we do church. When we think of ourselves as not people who are here to be entertained, as people not to be, give me my favorite song or my style of worship, because God alone is the audience in the drama. Kierkegaard says this, and with this, I want to kind of bring, worship isn't God's show. God is the audience. God is watching. The congregation, they are the actors in the drama. Worship is their show. And the minister is just reminding the people of their forgotten lines. And this term, as worship leaders and as prayers and as vicar and curate and various other roles we play in life at church, our task is to point to the one. Our point is that we worship in the context of the audience of the one. Let's pray. So church, let's go outside where Jesus is, which is where the action is. Not trying to be the privileged insiders, but taking our share in the abuse of Jesus. This insider world is not our home. We have our eyes peeled on the city to come. Let's take our place outside where Jesus is. No longer pouring sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out our sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Don't take things for granted. Don't go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship. A different kind of sacrifice that takes place in the kitchen, in the workplace, and in the streets. Heavenly Father, you give us life together in your name. Accept the work of our hands wherever you place us this week. Take our lives, make us whole, give us peace, and renew our gathered worship and scattered lives by your Spirit. In the service of our wonderful Savior Jesus, for whom we live for. Amen. Please stand.